You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to tonight's live broadcast. James Edwards and Keith Alexander spending an extended amount of time on our final stop during our march around the world. This year's annual installment of that special series ends tonight in South Africa, the only port of call that is getting 2 full hours dedicated to it, and for good reason, obviously. The situation there is
the so-called dark continent worthy
of the additional coverage. You just heard in the first hour from Simon Roche of Saitlanders, and now joining us from South Africa, very interesting, Jonas Nielsen, the Swedish filmmaker. Now, Jonas was on last year during March Around the World to represent his native Sweden. We had Dan Erickson step in and do that this year. Always good to talk to Dan. You heard him last week right after Philip de Winter and Anke van der Merse from Belgium. But tonight, Jonas is in South Africa working on a project. And let's just give you a little bit more information about Jonas before we say hello to him. Jonas Nielsen is a political scientist, an author, and a documentary filmmaker. He holds a bachelor's degree in political science from a university in Sweden. He left his master's study from the same university to found a media production company in 2018. Jonas is best known for producing the documentary film South Africa, A Reverse Apartheid in 2018. Folks, this is one of the clearest, sharpest, high-definition, well-done productions I've ever seen from our side of the fence. This film had a major impact, and he has since followed up with developments in the country in a series of reports, interviews, and documentaries. And he's going to tell us more about that and then some right now. Joining us live from South Africa, the Swedish filmmaker Jonas Nielsen. Jonas, how are you tonight in South Africa?
Thank you very much for that introduction. I'm very well. I'm actually down here with my family, and I almost consider myself to be a CMA resident of this country, of this lovely country in many regards.
Naturally beautiful, to be sure. You've got the mountains, you've got the ocean, and you know, some other situations there in between. But it is breathtakingly spectacular by the looks of it, and by every person that I've known who has been there.
Another thing that these people have there that a lot of people don't realize, they have an abundance of natural resources. You know, they have got gold, they've got rare earth minerals, they've got all sorts of things in South Africa.
What was it, Jonas, about South Africa that gripped your attention as a filmmaker? I mean, obviously, from Sweden to South Africa, there's not a direct connection. What was it about the situation there that led you to lend your talents to telling that story?
It actually goes way back to almost the mid-2000. In 2007, I was starting to get an awareness about the problem down here within the farming communities and the farm attacks. So then I volunteered to work with a farm watch, and went down here and worked within the farmer community and their safety networks for 6 months. And I absolutely fell in love with this country and the culture and the people down here. So I stayed in contact over the years. And the more I spoke to people, mostly in Sweden, they had this weird, almost like my introduction of this country in this radio show, that this is a lovely country, because that's what people see when they come here for 1 week, 2 weeks. And I really felt that the story of the Boers weren't really told overseas. So I got fed up with that, and took it upon myself to actually go down there and do this very first documentary in 2018. And then I just have carried on.
And we have talked with you before about that documentary. First of all, just tell people where they can find it.
When I first started with this film series down here in South Africa, I named the series Boer Project. And I recently rebranded to South Africa Insight. to get a more neutral name as to speech. And but you can find the documentary on Odyssey if you search for the channel Boer Project. And it's also it got deleted the first time after like 500,000 views on YouTube, but it's been uploaded on different channels there. So the best option is to either go to Odyssey and type in South Africa reversed apartheid ? or Google it on YouTube. But like anything else, it's a little bit shadow banned, so you probably need to scroll down a little bit to find it.
But anybody that's seeking to find it should be able to find it. It's widely distributed, and people should be able to find it without too much trouble. We'll put a link up to it on our website and on our Twitter, where we already have a link to your direct website. Keith?
I've got a question for you, Jonas. You mentioned Boers. The two groups of white people are the English-descended people and the Boers. What differences do you see between them? What similarities? Are they on the same page, or are they, different? And
they're quite different in actually two ways. And one is that the conflicts of old, when South Africa was forged into one nation, it was during under British rules, where the two Boer nations were forced into the British Empire. And during that war, to actually subdue the Boers, they put in the concentration camps for the Boers, women and children, and that still holds some bad blood within the Boer community against the British. But
what's the numbers? Which group is larger and socially dominant, whatever?
They are roughly 50% each within the white minority. I don't think it's such a big difference between the two in the size. But it was an Afrikaner country when it left the Commonwealth. So the Afrikaner have been quite dominant, but everyone speaks English as their second language. So my English is actually getting worse down here, because it's very few that actually have English as their first language. But the one interesting thing is that English has been predominantly in Western Cape, which is a coastal area, and they are also more liberal, much more so than the Afrikaner community, which are more inland. So you get this interesting aspect of this, like San Francisco, New York, coastal town like Cape Town, always are very liberal. But here in South Africa, you get another dimension to that. That the coastal town is not just more liberal than inland, but it also has that demographic of British, and the inland you have the Afrikaner community. So you have a divide in demographic, but also in the value system of being a conservative, nationalist conservative, or to be a Western liberal.
Well, how's that compare with Sweden? Is Sweden basically, are the whites there 80% liberal, 60% liberal, 50%? How many are like the Boers?
Got about 15 seconds.
All right. It's very few in Sweden that are like the Boers. The Swedish right wing are like some of the liberals down here. That's the difference.
What an answer. What a question. Hey, we'll be right back with the Swedish filmmaker Jonas Nilsson. He is live from South Africa tonight as we wrap up our march around the world. Stay tuned.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
True Passover versus Easter. The Catholic Church and most denominations follow the Jewish Passover. Here is the Jewish tradition. The Passover takes place 14 days after the new moon, after the equinox. But what does God say? In Isaiah 1, verse 14, quote, "Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals I hate with all my being," unquote. Now notice God's word versus Jewish tradition. Quote, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight is the Lord's Passover," unquote. That's from Leviticus 23, verse 5. God's year begins on the spring equinox. Passover is always on the 14th day of God's year, the 14th day after the equinox. The Sunday after the Passover is Resurrection Sunday. None of this is about fertility, which is exactly what Easter is all about. Easter bunny and eggs, fertility rites, are paganism.
Okay, I see we got some new ads this week. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, James Edwards, Keith Alexander, and Jonas.
Jonas, let me say this. I have a kind of related situation. I was born in Minnesota in America, which has a lot of Swedes and a lot of Germans. And I remember my father had Army buddies. After World War II, it was hard to find a job, and they got him into an electrician. He had some Army buddies from Minnesota that got him into an electrician's apprenticeship program. And he told me that the people up there, he said, in the county in which I was born, Meeker County, Minnesota, there in the 1950 census, there was one, not two, but one black person in the entire county. He said, but that didn't stop all native Minnesotans from being instinctive experts on race relations that used to lecture him about how badly white Southerners treated blacks. He said he'd just shake his head and roll his eyes. He said it was like people that lived in the desert presuming to tell people that lived in the jungle about jungle survival techniques. On the other hand, he said that the people up there were, they'd give you the shirt off their back. They were honest. They were hardworking. Everything was that. He said, but they were crazy on race relations. Is that still the way it is in Sweden? And how have you been able to bring any reality to their viewpoint by your movies and your efforts in South Africa?
I think you actually were spot on describing the Sweden foreign policies over these last five decades, because that was Sweden was the biggest contributor to ANC during apartheid times, and we tried to deliver answers to South Africa for challenges that we had no idea of what they contained, because Sweden was a very homogeneous during the 60s, the 50s, the 60s, when our support was the biggest for ANC. And I don't think actually my documentary works and my other media production works have created like some enlightenment for the Swedish people. I think my work has been important, but not in that sense. I think that reality has catched up with Swedes in a bigger degree because of our mass immigration. And my movies has been part of many other works of help Swedes to articulate what they are feeling within this situation that is pretty roughly wakes a lot of people up in a very, very short period of time.
But, Jonas Nielsen is most well known. Yeah, go ahead, Jonas, finish the thought.
No, but the Swedes in Minnesota is 100% the same as the Swedes in Sweden.
I would love for somebody to do a study on how you could go from being Vikings to being just the most
cucks.
Yeah, I don't know how that happens. A seafaring warrior people somehow devolving into to this on a large scale. But yes, that has happened to a lot of them. Jonas Nielsen, our guest right now, Swedish by birth, but in South Africa right now working. And as we mentioned a moment ago, he is perhaps most well known for his film South Africa, A Reversed Apartheid, which we encourage you to check out. It was a hit, so to speak, but that's certainly not all Jonas has done. He has since produced the documentary Why is Sweden multicultural in 2021, and then just last year, The People in Power You Never Chose. Before Jonas leaves us this evening, we will be able to have him plug where you can find all of these works. He's also an author, having written, among other things, When Migration Becomes Conflict, Political Group Dynamics. But Jonas, again, you are down in South Africa right now, and of course I appreciate the fact that you, like we, you do it in a very sharp, different form of media, high-definition video, very professionally produced. I mean, his documentaries, ladies and gentlemen, would be right at home as a Hollywood production. I mean, they are that high quality. So I enjoy being able to see that platform being used to interview people like Simon Roche and other whites in South Africa to get their message out, because who else is going to do it? But what makes your work very interesting to me, Jonas, on top of that, is the fact that here you are as a filmmaker who shares our concerns on these issues, but you also interview people on the street in South Africa, blacks in South Africa. And I think that that's very eye-opening. In fact, you just had a new video that was posted just earlier this week about the purported national shutdown of South Africa, where you go in. And what do you learn when you're talking to blacks on the street there? What is the interaction? What's the dynamic like? And what was going on in this most recent video?
Yeah, I'm sure you covered a lot with Simon Roche about massive challenges these countries have. And it's a very left-wing extremist communist party called the EFF that wanted to throw a national shutdown of this country this Monday. And it was a major failure. But this party is still really big and is a big threat. And the reason why I think it was a failure was because they are conceived as a big threat, which they are. But when they talked this big talk before this protest and laying their plans out there, people really get together to prevent them to do that. So it actually quite it wasn't their weakness of the EFF that made it a failure. It was the strength of the civic society with all the neighborhood watches coming together as a civil community and aiding the police, and even the armed forces in some cases were involved to keep it calm. And when it comes to the blacks, when I actually, you haven't maybe not know because this I left it outside of this short story I put in, but I followed EFF and their representative before this protest and during this protest. I was embedded within an EFF group, and I'm busy editing now to put it out. And one needs to realize when you're dealing with these people that there's a lot of people here in South Africa within the black community, especially within the black community, that have nothing to lose. They don't have a job. They don't have any prospects. They have many children, as you know. And what do you do? And here is a party that promised them things that is, of course, it's not possible to fulfill these promises. But it's their grasp of doing something. And when this accumulates and becomes something, it becomes very, very dangerous. And especially when it's on such a naive level, to put it very simple, because sometimes it's when you speak to them and their theories and how they want society to change and in what way, it almost I get the feel that I'm almost speaking to children sometimes, and it makes it very difficult when they outnumber the more sane population by 9-1.
No kidding. I mean, you said it. And this thing, this video that you posted earlier this week, it's entitled Fear of Anarchy, South Africa's National Shutdown, and it's on YouTube. And this is, I'm reading now from the description, this exclusive report. Just to give you a little more background, ladies and gentlemen, Jonas is going into the current crisis in South Africa, where the economic freedom fighters, the EFF we've been talking about, have called for a national shutdown. So this country obviously grappling with power outages and social unrest. and Rising Fears of Anarchy. And in this video, which is very short, you interview locals and explore the implications and the tactics used by the EFF and the potential consequences of escalating violence. You're going around, you're interviewing these people. Do you ever feel unsafe? How do you remain safe?
Exposed to what could maybe be exposing therapy, that I think I'm very good at reading people and reading the energy in the atmosphere. So I think when I was now within this EFF activist group, it's of course more stressful than being in your own home environment when I follow the Boer community, for instance.
Jonas, what we do here, we say there's a reason the Lord gave you two ears and one mouth. You're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk. That's what you have to do around these people, I guess, to, be safe. Sit there and take notes and be listening. And it's another thing that we say is that...
Yeah, exactly that.
The blacks are often in error, but never in doubt.
Yeah, and it's also like I'm a documentary filmmaker. I'm not there to impose my opinion on them. I'm there to listen to them, which makes it a little bit easier as well.
Well, we have posted this latest video. So this isn't a full-length documentary film, as Jonas has wonderfully made before. This is a short Man on the Street video. It's on YouTube, and we have reposted it at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, back on the 22nd, so go and check it out. We'll be right back with Jonas.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Rich Johnson. A rogue prosecutor. That's how former President Trump describes Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. It's Bragg who's been leading a grand jury in the investigation of the payments that adult film star Stormy Daniels received and whether that money came from the Trump presidential campaign. Texas Congressman and Trump supporter Chip Roy is also questioning Bragg's motive.
The DA in New York is politicizing the justice system to target former President Trump. There's no question.
And now NBC News is reporting that grand jury will not meet today, but will be on standby for tomorrow. If he is eventually indicted, many expect Trump to appear next week to be arraigned, including fingerprints and a mugshot. Now that the leaders of Russia and China have wrapped up their two-day summit, there's another call in Congress to get tougher on Moscow, this one from Senator Lindsey Graham.
China is openly embracing Russia. They're undercutting everything the West is trying to do to isolate Russia. I think now is the time, Mr. Secretary, to label Russia state-sponsored terrorism.
Graham spoke during testimony by Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, who said that designation is not the most effective way to hold Russia accountable, and it could have unintended consequences. Looks like another interest rate hike, maybe 0.25%. That's what many analysts expect to hear from Fed Chair Jerome Powell today. Texas Senator Ted Cruz is calling for a constitutional amendment to cap the size of the Supreme Court at 9 justices. Right now, the Constitution leaves the size of the court up to Congress. Newsmax and DirecTV have kissed and made up. The satellite TV service says the conservative channel will return to DirecTV's lineup. It had dropped Newsmax when, after years of offering it for free, the channel demanded payment. No word whether payments are part of the new agreement between Newsmax and DirecTV. This is USA News.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you test and inject daily, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Making our final stop during our march around the world in South Africa with Simon Roche and now Jonas Nielsen, the renowned and accomplished filmmaker. I want to play a clip that's been making the rounds, and I want to ask Jonas how prevalent, or if ever, he runs into this sort of sentiment from blacks in South Africa. So this is a woman in South Africa, a black woman in South Africa, who are sharing her thoughts on the current situation. I have not listened to all of this. I just got it. But we'll see what she says. I got the gist of it, though.
Let the power go back to the white people. We as black people, we just have to accept that we failed dismally. For 28 years, we were given chance to prove ourselves, and we failed dismally. This thing of voting one black person after the other, it won't help us with anything. Let power go back to white people. When white people were governing this country, irrespective of whatever that they were doing, but our parents were working. Kids used to get bursaries to go to universities. Town used to be clean. There was job everywhere. You apply, you get a job. Even if you didn't have qualifications, you could work in hotels, you could work wherever. You could work even in the farms. There were farms where people could work. Black people are a dismal, dismal failure. They can't govern. Let the power go back to white people. Let us just swallow our pride and give these white people power back so that the country can go back to normal. We have to accept that. We really, really respect people who fought for the liberation. We respect them, and we will still gonna respect them. But at the end of the day, we just have to take this power back to the white people. We are tired. South Africa is a mess. Everywhere you go, it's a mess. We are tired. We accept we failed. Black people cannot rule. Black people cannot govern. White people should take over this country, so that this country can have dignity back. All these things that are happening in our country, they will never happen again. This problem of foreigners, this problem of crime, it won't be there anymore. White people, they don't play. They don't play. They rule, they govern. The police, white police, they don't play with criminals. They don't play with undocumented people in the country.
Okay. You know, you've heard stories in the past about black farm workers supposedly cheering the return of white farmers in Zimbabwe. Do you run into any of this when you're on the street there, Jonas? Is this prevalent at all, or
is it unique and
rare? Yeah, it's actually quite funny that you play this clip because when I was out in Monday with the EFF group. When I was leaving there, it's a black guy that stops me and told me on camera, so I'm busy editing it for this next story, and like, hey, listen, it was better during apartheid. During apartheid, everything worked. Okay, so we were not allowed into certain areas. So, and this was an old guy. He was maybe 60 years, so he would have been during his working age in apartheid around 30 or 40 or so. And he said pretty much the same thing as this lady said. I wouldn't say that it's a majority of blacks would say that, but it's definitely a sentiment within the black community that is not too unusual to actually hear. But
you can actually say also here, Jonas, that in America, things are better in the South under segregation than they are
well,
now.
Well, you look at Jackson, Mississippi. I mean, some of the things that Jonas was talking about earlier this hour, and Simon Roche as well. I mean, Jackson, Mississippi, they can't even keep a water supply. They actually pulled up one of those pipes down there, and it's just disgusting. You can't have a first world nation with a third world population. Well, anyway, I thought, you know, it takes a lot of courage and character to admit you were wrong. I don't know if this lady's going to get her wish, but it is interesting to know that, yes, there are some whites over there that hate themselves and are afflicted with this white guilt and this white self-hatred that have thrown in with the other. And then there are some honest blacks over there like this woman, and God bless her for that. Now, Jonas, with a few minutes remaining, what is the message of your work about South Africa, which you have dedicated a lot of it to the situation there, that you want people who watch your videos and your documentaries, and you want people in this audience to walk away saying, you know what, I'm glad he did that. I didn't know that before now.
That South Africa will come to the Western world if we do nothing. Swedes, ethnical Swedes, will be a minority in our own country, and so will the Anglo-Saxons in America, which you definitely are in some of the states and some of the cities. And this is the life that we will have. We have a facit at hand. We are in hindsight when we look at South Africa of how our situation will be. It will be no difference. So we need to study South Africa and see what can we do as a people to prevent the worst case scenarios.
It's like a canary in the coal mine.
Jonas, that said, what can we do to support you? Where can we watch more of your work? I know you mentioned the South Africa Reversed Apartheid you can find on Odyssey and elsewhere, you have other documentaries as well. You've got a website. You've got a Twitter. How can people find and support your work?
The best for within the English world, I got an English newsletter on southafricainsight.substack.com, and there every time I produce anything that is in English or relevant for South Africa for an overseas audience, I post it on there, and you get a newsletter on directly into your email. And also there you can everything I do is donation based, and also through southafricainsight.substack.com it's all possible to support the work I do.
Folks, I have linked at the top of my Twitter account this Saturday evening the link over to Jonas's Twitter account. And there you can find his websites, or just go to the top, our promo at thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight. I've linked over to Jonas's website in Sweden, which they will translate. You click the button you want to translate it translates it into English. And I got a sharp picture there of Jonas moderating a very well-known debate. We don't necessarily have time to get into that. You can read more about it there at the website. And listen, folks, we need people, our people, telling our stories and advancing our issues in the arts. I think what we're doing it here on radio and what others are doing, like Jonas, with films, is just incredible. You want it to be done. You want the right message. Yes, you want a spokesman who can carry the message capably, but you also want it to be well done. You don't want our message to be conveyed in a vessel that is not worthy.
And well, another thing, too.
And Jonas doesn't do that. I mean, his stuff is as good as anything you'll find anywhere by anyone.
The big problem is this. We have a saying, all our skin folk ain't kinfolk, and we need to make more of our skin folk kinfolk, and that's what Jonas is trying to do. He's trying to enlighten people in Europe and America, white people everywhere, to give up this, you know, false notion of the promise of liberalism has failed, and things, when black people get in charge, things go downhill.
That was the common denominator between both Jonas and Simon, is that what's happening in South Africa, which they've seen. I mean, Simon lives there and Jonas spends a lot of time professionally there. He's there right now. This can and will and is coming to the Western nations, and we'd better learn from these mistakes and not make the same ones.
Like I said, they're the canary in the coal mine. We better watch very quick, pay attention, because that's where we're headed.
Watch Jonas's movies, support his work in any way that you can. And Jonas, a final word to you, my friend, and thank you again for taking time away from your travels to join us and to be our final guest, wrapping up our March Around the World series from South Africa. It's really meant a lot to us.
Well, thank you very much. It's a great honor to be on the show and also to get this spot as your last guest.
Definitely wrapping it up with you, my friend, and it was great to spend time with you a couple of years ago in Tennessee. Hope to see you again. Stay safe and stay in touch. We will certainly talk to you again next March, if not before, but certainly I hope before. And anything we can do to help you out, just let us know. And my best to you and to your family.
Be sure to drop by Memphis if you're over here in the States sometime. We'd like to show you around.
You're going to pay for the barbecue?
I'll pay for the barbecue.
Oh, there it is.
We
you
might
can't
even
miss
go
that.
To a nice restaurant there. But we'll take him up. We'll let him tell us how South Memphis compares with Soweto.
I tell you what, that would be, you know, that's that. Jonas, that's a project. Go to inner city Atlanta and Memphis and compare it to South Africa. I think that you may be onto something there, Keith Alexander. Thank you, Jonas. God bless you. Stay safe and keep up the great work. We'll be back right after this.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is a wrap on March Around the World. Now, I guess it would have been nice to wrap up the series with more uplifting news, but we've got to be real here. And the reality of it is there are some nations where our people are doing better than others. I think very inspirational. Perhaps we should have ended it all with Philip and Anka, who are having great success with our issues in Belgium. And we've really given you, I think, a wonderful cross-section this year of activists and former and current elected leaders, professors and filmmakers, and you name it, former diplomat in Croatia, Tom Sunic. The diversity of the nations that we visited this week, it was a mixed bag, but I did purposefully put South Africa and save South Africa for last for two reasons. Number one, I wanted to spend the most time there because the situation there is the most dire. And number two, I wanted that to leave the lasting impression. Everything we're fighting for, the advances we're making in other parts of the white world, the areas in which we're still struggling, South Africa can show you where it will go if you don't do your part. And you can do your part by supporting this program and supporting any of the wonderful guests and their organizations that have been represented during this, our 2023 March Around the World.
And I don't think we've really quit having the March Around the World, because our next guest is an American, but he's a globetrotter. He's
okay,
been all over the place.
We are officially done with it, in so much as we're not making another stop outside of the country. But what we're going to be doing in the next hour, just to give you a little preview, Jason Kessler, while we were making our telephonic march around the world or our radio march around the world, he really was doing it. He went to Peru, and from Peru, he flew to Central and Eastern Europe and visited, at least a half a dozen nations. We'll find out the exact count when Jason joins us. Now, Jason Kessler, obviously a journalist. Independent journalist, also published, works with VDare and other outlets. But he's going to close this annual special series by sharing with us those observations he made during his own intercontinental travels throughout the month of March. But as far as different guests from different nations, that we just wrapped that up in the last couple of hours with Simon Roche and Jonas Nielsen live from South Africa. But yes, a little cherry on top, a little twist to end it all. Jason Kessler, who is just back in the United States. He went to from Peru to Romania, and he's going to be with us in the third hour, so he's not coming up this segment, but he'll be coming up in just a moment, just to give you a little preview about that. But, Keith, of all the places, I can't ask you this. I'm not going to ask you the question. I'm not going to ask you. I was going to ask. Of all the places we visited this month and all the guests, I can't ask you which were your favorites. I can't play favorites. They were all great. But what would you just say overall, now that it's in the book? I'll tell you what, this is a difficult series to produce. It's a difficult series to produce because of the time zone differentials and keeping everybody in line and having people that are willing to stay up till midnight, 1, 2, 3 a.m. In the mornings to do these programs live. But there were a couple of countries that we visited this year that we didn't visit last year, and a couple of countries we visited last year that we didn't go to this year.
We visited Europe with Tom Sunick. With,
I already named it. England, yeah, Australia, yeah, Canada,
and
Croatia,
and
Brazil,
we
Belgium.
Had South America.
Yeah, we did. We had South Africa. We were on three or four different continents.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Is Australia a separate continent? I don't.
Yes,
know.
It is. It is
okay.
A continent.
All right, then. Well, yeah, we've been all around the place. We didn't get anybody from the subcontinent of India. We'll try to correct that situation.
Do we want somebody from the subcontinent of India?
Well, we find out, or someone from China. I'd like to see what's going on. Apparently, they're going to be in charge of things, and America isn't, now that they have allied themselves with Russia. Thanks to the crazy machinations of our neocons over here, we've now managed to throw Russia and China together as allies. You know, some people never learn. I tell you what, the more they stir it, the more it stinks.
Well, in any event, we will get Jason Kessler's take on his world travels, and at the top of the third hour, so next segment, about 15-20 minutes from now. But overall, in the book, difficult series to produce, but a rewarding series to produce. And I think the difficulty of producing it makes it more rewarding, because you have to put a little more effort in. Anything you have to work hard for always seems to just be a little more satisfying. And I just got to thank again all of the people, all of the guests we had on this month. But what do you think in retrospect, as it stacks up to the other years during which we've done this?
What I drew from it is that race is still important. Race used to not be an issue in Europe. It is now. We see now what the end game looks like regarding racial conflict in South Africa. It's important that we understand that we're not alone in this, racial conflict. This is what is happening throughout the world. That's what I've basically drawn from all of these things. And it's, again, all of the problems that we have seem to have the same source. I'm not going to name it, but that's the way it is. And it's, we've got to get to the point where all of our skin folk, or at least most of them, are kinfolk. People are thinking like us. Because you can't have an adversary that thinks as a group when you think as individuals. That's just, that's like taking a knife to a gunfight. We've got to be able to, stand up. And this is a great fault line. This is what the cultural Marxists had in mind. They said that the real dividing line in history or in human society is not, as Marx and Engels thought, economic class. It's not even religion. It's race. And I think this whole month has brought that into focus for me.
Yes, I mean, I guess every week, every year, for now going on almost two decades, 1 year shy of two decades as we sit right now, we've been talking with guests both here and abroad about these issues, and some of these eternal and fundamental truths never change. But this has been a fun month. It always is a fun month. I look forward to it, and we'll be transitioning into Confederate History Month next month, so back-to-back special series here on TPC, and it's a busy time of year on this program. So busy, in fact, that we didn't nearly make mention often enough, as we normally do during one of the months we're hosting a quarterly fundraising drive, to remind you that this is, in fact, our first quarter fundraising drive. It's crucial, it's vital. And it ends next week, and we're still just a bit short of reaching our goal, probably because I didn't remind you enough of it. But these appeals make the difference in us being able to meet our operating budget, which is entirely listener-supported, entirely listener-supported. So if you want to support our work and help us start the year off strong here in now officially spring, but still the first quarter, checks or money orders can be sent still through the USPS. We have been long since deplatformed from receiving online contributions for years now, but we can still take checks and money orders. And many thanks to everyone who has already given. We couldn't do it without you. You don't make it 20 years in this business, or nearly 20 years, without the support and love of your family of listeners. And we love you, and we're thankful that you are supportive of this work, and those who make that contribution are going to get, we try to mix it up, you know, and I think we've done a good job over the years, but especially this last year, we try to mix up the gifts incentives. For the people who donate $100 or more, we always try to give you something special. Sometimes it's a book, sometimes it's, we did that photo art last summer, you'll remember, from the photo of the European landscape. There that was signed, and obviously the special gift package from Shark Hunters, which was just really above and beyond. And sometimes it's books, and this time a DVD. So we got a DVD of my speech at the Countercurrents Conference last fall, so a little movie you can pop in. Sometimes a book, sometimes photos, sometimes, you know, you never know what you're going to get. Sometimes a flag, sometimes...
Life is like a box of chocolates.
We mix
you never
it
know
up.
What you're going to get.
We
right?
just send a different
as far
book
as Gump
time.
Says.
That's right. So we've got a DVD on offer this month, and it all ends on March 31st. So if you haven't yet shown your support and you're interested or been thinking about it, now's the time. Deadline March 31st. As long as it's postmarked by then, we'll get it in. I'll tell you, I have been telling you, but I'll tell you again. A new book out you might want to check out, ladies and gentlemen, as we're working through our announcements now before we get to the third and final hour. The Honorable Cause of Free South. We mentioned this at the top of the show. I want to remind you right now, I will be in South Carolina next week for the launch of this book, and some of the other authors will be there free of charge. Refreshments will be on hand, and they'll be signing the book, and we'll be doing a live remote broadcast from the official launch, the hard launch of The Honorable Cause of Free South. But it has soft launched already, and it is available for purchase, if you are so inclined, at Amazon.com. And what this book is a collection of 12 essays written by pro-Southern and pro-secession activists. It places into context what it means to be Southern and why Southern identity is so important. It also explores secession and how to achieve political and social liberation for the South. This book is intended to inspire both emotion and thought. And the authors, the 12 authors, of which I am one, want the readers to internalize the content and see a free and independent Dixie as the most honorable outcome for a unique people. This was put together by Patrick Martin, who is a contributor at Identity Dixie. He's been on the show a couple of times. He wrote the book, A Walk in the Park, My Charlottesville Story, which we had him on to talk about that just a few months ago. And he went straight from that book into this. And I was asked to contribute, and what I contributed I thought would be just a window dressing. And you look at some of the contributing authors, Ann Wilson Smith, who also wrote a Charlottesville book. Charlottesville Untold Inside Unite the Right. She's one of the contributing authors. Dr. Michael Hill, who needs no introduction to this audience, is a contributing author. And I just thought, well, with all those great writers, what I would contribute would be just mere window dressing. But I was informed last week that they are using it as the opening chapter, which I don't believe I deserve that honor, but I am honored still. And I want you to get the book, folks. This is something, you know, this has been a pillar of TPC. Southern Identity has been a pillar of our program since the very beginning. So to get back to that, have it launch to coincide with our Confederate History Month series coming up is very special. So we ask you to support our work through the quarterly fundraising drive and go to Amazon.com. Why don't you? You can go ahead and get the book, hard launching next week, but already available online, The Honorable Cause of Free South. And I think you'll be hearing a lot more about it during next month's special series. But to wrap up this special series, we're going to be talking with Jason Kessler, speaking of Charlottesville. He's been all around the world, and he's going to tell us all about it next.